Okay, why did Peter change? So listen carefully and see if you can work out the answer to that. And hey, grown-ups, you might want to do that too. So we're starting this new series on the book of 1 Peter. My Bible study group's got a good jump on the rest of you because we've already just been through 1 Peter. But we've found a lot of great stuff in it, and I think we're going to as well. But this week, instead of diving straight in, we're going to take a week to meet the author. We're lucky here because Peter is someone that we have a lot of information and stories about in the Bible. And so that can actually help us to understand where he's coming from when he says things to us. Now, there's a lot of stories about Peter the disciple, Peter the apostle. And I'm wondering how many I could come up with if I asked you. So I'm going to. What's something you know about Peter? Ashley's going to come around and give you the mic, but I want to see if we can gather some facts about Peter. What's something you know about Peter? Anything, a story or something he said? I see Abby's hand.
Before he was a disciple, he was a fisherman.
Excellent. Yes, true. See, it's not that hard, is it? Sally?
He was passionate.
He was a passionate person. He certainly was. Come on, you know more than that. What else is something about Peter? I see Glenda's hand up the back. Sorry, Ash.
He had a temper.
Oh, he did, didn't he? Yes, absolutely. What else? Esther's got an idea?
He tried to walk on water.
He did. I reckon he's the only person who's tried that, do you? Unless you've tried it. What else do we know about Peter?
He was a leader.
He was a leader. Thanks, Deborah. And Bob said something. What did you say? He was a liar. Oh. So not everything's good, is it? What else? Sharon?
He recognised Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God.
He did. Yes, he did. One of only two people that did. How are we going? I want you to see if you can come up with two more things. No, three more things, and we'll get three more pictures up there. Kingsley?
He spoke to the whole church at a strategic time in church history.
Ah, very good, yes. Sharon wants another go.
He was a family man. He had a wife and we don't know about children, but he had family.
He had a wife. He had a mother-in-law, didn't he? Oh, Yelena? Oh, Esther? Yep.
He had a dream about sheep.
Animals.
He did white have sheep. A dream about animals. Fancy you remembering that. Yelena?
He did miracles after Jesus went up to heaven.
He did. He's quite a guy, isn't he? You like some of these pictures I've found? This was just a bit of a Google search. You can see one of them, Peter's holding a key. Why is he holding a key? Know why he'd be holding a key? Yeah, Linda knows.
He was given the keys to the kingdom.
That's right. That's right. What about that middle picture where he's got a fish in his hand? What's happening there? That's another story. Anyone know that one? When he's asked to pay the tax, what happens? Ellen?
Jesus told him he'd be a fisher of men.
He did. He did. He also told him to go and catch a fish, take what's inside of it and pay the tax for you and me. And that's, I think, Peter getting the coin out of the mouth there. So one thing that we can definitely say about Peter is that he had a beard. And he usually has more hair than anyone else in whatever picture he's in. I don't know why that's the case, but yeah, there's a few pictures of him. Peter was just a human like us. He's a human being. And what I like is that the Bible doesn't make him into somebody that we can't relate to. The Bible doesn't pretty up the kind of awkward bits. It doesn't wipe out the bits that Peter is probably really embarrassed about. There's no airbrushing to make the picture look nicer. But we also see those moments where it's just a shining moment, where he says, "You are the Messiah," where he has the keys of the kingdom, where he is going to be the fisher for people. I came across this quote this week from an Archbishop of the Australian Orthodox Church. So, you know, not similar to what we would say, but let's read this because I thought it's really good. "Brave Peter gives us the most living picture of a man who cannot live below his level or pretend." Isn't that true? He doesn't pretend. "He's full of blood and flesh, but also full of fire and enthusiasm. It's for this reason that he deposits every minute his human weakness and contradictory character, as well as all the power and beauty of his truth." I thought that was pretty cool. Now, I want to tell you a story, one of the stories that has been mentioned by Bob. But we want to talk about, I want to read you the story. Have a close listen, have a look at the pictures, and we'll have a talk about this story. Here it goes. "Then the men arrested Jesus and led him away. They took him to the high priest's house, and Peter followed from far away. Some people there started a fire in the middle of the courtyard, and they sat down together, and Peter sat down with them. A female servant saw him sitting there in the firelight. She looked closely at him. She said, 'This man was with Jesus.' But Peter said he had not been with him. 'Woman, I don't know him,' he said. A little later, someone else saw Peter. 'You also are one of them,' he said. 'No,' Peter replied, 'I'm not.' About an hour later, another person spoke up. 'This fellow must have been with Jesus,' he said. 'He's from Galilee.' They could tell because of the way he spoke. And Peter replied, 'Man, I don't know what you're talking about.' Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked right at Peter. And then Peter remembered what the Lord had spoken to him. 'The rooster will crow today,' Jesus had said, 'and before it does, you will say 3 times that you don't know me.' And Peter went outside and he broke down and cried." Isn't that an awful story? And do you know what makes it even worse? That just a few hours before, on the same night, Peter had said this: "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." And this: "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." The same day. No wonder he broke down and cried so hard. In the face of the fear that he felt, all those big words came to nothing. Now I want to look at another story. This is a bit later on, but only a few months later. Here we go. Peter and John were speaking to the people. The priests, the captain of the temple guard, and the Sadducees came up to the apostles. They were very upset by what these apostles were teaching the people. The apostles were saying that people can be raised from the dead. They said this can happen because Jesus rose from the dead. So the temple authorities arrested Peter and John. It was already evening, so they put them in prison until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of people who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers and elders and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. And they had Peter and John brought to them. They wanted to question them. "By what power did you do this?" they asked. "And through whose name?" Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. He said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, are you asking us to explain our actions today? Do you want to know why we were kind to a man who couldn't walk? Are you asking how he was healed? Then listen to this. You and all the people of Israel, you nailed Jesus Christ of Nazareth to the cross, but God raised him from the dead. It's through Jesus' name that this man stands healed in front of you. Scripture says that Jesus is the stone you builders did not accept, but it has become the most important stone of all. You can't be saved by believing in anyone else. God has given people no other name under heaven that will save them." The leaders saw how bold Peter and John were, and they also realised that Peter and John were ordinary men with no training. And this surprised the leaders. They realised these men had been with Jesus. The leaders could see the man who had been healed. He was standing there with them. So there was nothing they could say. They ordered Peter and John to lead the Sanhedrin, and then they talked things over. "What can we do with these men?" they asked. "Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they've performed an unusual miracle. We can't say it didn't happen." "We have to stop this thing. It must not spread any further among the people. We have to warn these men. They must never speak to anyone in Jesus' name again." Once again, the leaders called in Peter and John, and they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in Jesus' name. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right from God's point of view? Should we listen to you, or should we listen to God? You be the judges. There's nothing else we can do. We have to speak about the things we have seen and heard." The leaders warned them again, and they let them go. They couldn't decide how to punish Peter and John. They knew that all the people were praising God for what had happened. Wow. You see the difference in Peter in those two stories? Before, he was too scared to even tell a servant girl that he knew Jesus at all. Now he stands up before the rulers, the Jewish rulers, accuses them of killing Jesus, tells them who Jesus is and what he's done, and then refuses point blank to be quiet about it. Is this the same person? What has happened to Peter? A lot. He's watched Jesus be killed on the cross. He's been in complete despair that his Lord that he had invested everything into is dead and gone. He's been to a tomb and discovered there was no body there. He met Jesus resurrected. Jesus has spoken with him and forgiven him, called him to be leader. And then at Pentecost, Peter received the Holy Spirit. All these things have changed him forever, but the Holy Spirit continues to change him and grow him. Now, as I looked at these two stories this week, I noticed something I'd never noticed before. And I want to look a little bit more closely at this change and show you what I noticed. Here's some things we see about Peter before Jesus dies and is raised. Sally's already said, he's a passionate guy. He's emotional. He's got plenty of feelings. You think about, you know, in the garden, the soldiers come up. What does Peter do? Whips out his sword, cuts off someone's ear. He doesn't stop and think, perhaps that's not quite what needs to be done right now. He's in there. Peter is all in. He's fully committed. He's the person, as Esther said, who says, "Can I walk on the water too?" Sure, why not? He's willing to speak out. He's not afraid of what other people think. He's willing to say what he thinks. And he's the one who says, "You are the Messiah." So he's passionate. He's all in. He's willing to speak. These are three things that get him into trouble a fair bit. And they sometimes make him look foolish. But they also lead him into the truth. Now here's the interesting thing. When fear overtakes him in the garden and the servant girl speaks to him, these three things that make Peter Peter desert him. He's withdrawn, he's silent. He can't bring himself to say that he knows Jesus. He's not willing to speak because he's afraid of what people will do. The very things that make Peter Peter desert him in this moment of fear. Fear and Satan make him less his true self. The very things he is known for, he's too afraid to do. But let's look at that other picture, that other story. When the Holy Spirit gets to work on him, the Spirit uses the very things that make Peter Peter, to grow him and to change him. He refines them. He gives Peter the power to do them well. He makes him wiser and braver. But that passion and that commitment and that willingness to speak, those are the things which make Peter stand up in the Sanhedrin and tell those rulers what's what. Wherever Peter goes, people are healed. Thousands believe. He speaks so boldly that these rulers go, oh, we don't know what to do. This is Peter as God made him to be. This is the Peter who writes the words that we're going to be exploring and drinking in these next few weeks. It really encourages me to know that I don't need parts of me taken away and replaced with something different in order to be the person that God wants me to be. Those things are already there within me because my God is my creator. And those are the things that he will develop in me to make me into the person that God wants me to be. And seeing Peter have this change makes me wonder, couldn't the Spirit do the same thing for us? This same Holy Spirit lives in everyone who believes in Jesus. And this same Spirit wants to do the same work, refining, empowering, maturing us to be the person he's already made us to be. And without the Holy Spirit, it's sin and it's fear and it's brokenness. It's too hard to consistently be that person. It's just too hard. We can't do it, can we? God has already made us the way we are for a reason. He's given us gifts and passions and personalities and character traits, but only the Holy Spirit can enable us, can empower us to live, truly live these things out for Jesus. Let me give you an example from my life. I've always found it fairly easy to tune into people, to listen to them, to maybe read what they're not saying, to pick up their body language or to pick up the feelings in their voice. When I was growing up and probably well into my adulthood, I used this mainly to worry about what people thought about me. I'd be checking people out, or I don't think they like what I said. Oh, I don't think they think I'm very nice. I would be continually thinking, trying to pick up what people thought about me, because that was what I was worried about. Now, that's not a helpful thing, is it? It stressed me out. It made me focus on myself. And so I might think it would be better for God to just take that out, because I'm not growing to be more like him the more I read people to try and worry about what they think of me. But over the years, the Holy Spirit has taught me that I can use that to simply love people the way they are and to listen to people for their own sake and to read them for their own benefit so that I can help them understand what they're going through. And that's been a large part of what I feel my calling to be a pastor is, to be able to help people find their way forward, to grow and to mature. So something that was really kind of pushing me the wrong way, the Holy Spirit has changed, not wiped out and replaced, but made into something that can enable me to serve him and to love other people. I suspect that we all have things like that. And I'm wondering today whether you have something like that in your life. Let me ask you a couple of questions. The first question I'd always have to ask is this: have you received the Holy Spirit? Is he living in you? This is a hugely important question that everyone needs to consider, because if you don't have the Spirit, he can't help you to grow and change. Maybe you haven't yet asked Jesus to be Lord of your life. Or maybe the Spirit is in you, but you've kind of got used to not listening to him And so he's kind of faded into the background, and he's not someone who has the right, I guess, the permission to change you. If you have received the Holy Spirit, what is one part of you, one passion, one character trait, that he might be able to refine and grow in you? Maybe it's something that you don't even see as an advantage at this point. Maybe it's something you're battling against. Maybe it's something you really don't like about yourself. But there is something in that trait that the Holy Spirit can use to change you, just like Peter, and to make you more like the yourself that you're created to be. Now, he won't do that without your say-so. And he will also require you to put in some effort. But my question today is, will you ask him to change you? Will we take Peter's example and ask the Holy Spirit to do the same work in us? I'm going to ask the musos to play for a little bit, just so that we can reflect. This is not the kind of question you can just answer like that, is it? It's something that we need to ponder and reflect on. So we're just going to have a little bit of time to do that, and then we will pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for the example of Peter. We thank you that you give us here an example that we can relate to. Someone who gets things wrong. Someone who sometimes looks foolish. And even someone who's made a terrible mistake. Who gave in to fear. And yet, Holy Spirit, you changed him. You empowered him, you refined him. The very things that tripped him up, that made him perhaps a little socially awkward, were the things that you gave power to build your church, to bring thousands of people to believe in you. Holy Spirit, we want to ask for the same thing this morning. Take the parts of ourselves that perhaps we don't even like, that we even feel like we need to battle against, and show us how you can work those into something beautiful, how you can refine us and grow us and change us, just like you did Peter. There's nothing different. We are human beings. You are the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to be open with you. Help us to be listening to your voice. And Lord, if anyone here has not received the Holy Spirit, if they have not given their life to you, I would pray that you draw them to do so, that they might know the ability to change, not themselves, but through you. And Lord, this change is going to spread not only through your people, but eventually through all creation, that you will make all things new. We look forward to that day, and we long to be part of that change in the world that we are in. So speak to us, Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name.